Psalm 70, we're in. Warm spirit that is here today, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus. Koinonia, sense your presence here, Lord God. Psalm 70 is a short psalm, but actually, I was prepared to do three. Psalm 70, 71, and 72. We'll see how far we get. Sometimes our prayers are pretty quick and they're kind of like drive-through, right? We don't have a lot of time to prepare. This situation has come upon us. So Psalm 70 is kind of there. Visually, you can see that it's very short, concentrated, and sometimes that's how it is in life, you know? But there's a lot there. It's certainly calling on God to hurry up and to help. Make haste, O God, to deliver me. Make haste to help me, O Lord. So whatever the situation that David has found himself in, he's now remembering that situation and him calling out to God, because that's the title of Psalm 70, just under the word Psalm 70. You might have that title written out as a Psalm of David to bring to remembrance. Make haste, O God, to deliver me. Make haste to help me, O Lord. You've heard the expression, haste makes waste, but not in this case. This is asking for God to hurry up. And we want God to show up in a timely manner. And of course, he is faithful to do so. But sometimes it doesn't seem on our end that that's happening. Let them be ashamed and confounded that seek after my soul. Let them be turned backward and put to confusion that desire my hurt. Let them be turned back for a reward of their shame that say, aha, aha. Almost sound like a crow, didn't it? We have plenty of those. Speaking of the war memorial that Richard was sharing about a few days before that, preparing for that, they were washing the crow stuff off of the memorials that were over there. So the fellow was over there with his power washer. So there were some preparations going into that. But I walk around town on my break, and I get to experience that crow experience that we have in Auburn. It's very unique. It's not in every city. I don't know if some of you have grown up around here, you think, well, the crows come to every city, don't they? No, they don't. There's only a couple places in the whole country, and I think the earth, that crows congregate. So it's kind of unusual. They're not sure why they do in Auburn, but they can leave. You know, as soon as they're done, they can go. I'm tired of stepping in it all the time as I walk around. But that word reminds me of that aha, aha, it sounds like the crows up there. And crows represent an unclean animal. The other contrast of that in the kingdom of God's creation is the dove. A dove, you will notice, will fly in a pattern that's of unison. They'll fly together. If there's a few doves sitting on a wire or in a tree branch, you'll hear pleasant sounds coming from them, some kind of coos happening, you know, just very pleasant sounds. And they eat seeds. They eat very pleasant things, you know. Where crows, just you go down the list, when they're flying, they're all over the place. There's no organization. Sometimes they'll peck at each other while they're flying. So isn't it interesting how God's creation, you could really see two kingdoms even being displayed. You see that all the way back in Genesis and Noah's Ark. There was the mention of the raven that didn't come back. Why? Because it probably laid on some dead things that were floating out there. A crow is happy to feed off a roadkill, eat some dead skunk, no problem. That sounds good for breakfast. A dove wouldn't do that. It's going to wait for the, you know, something more delectable like seeds or something. But the noise that they make with a crow, Roger does it probably the best, but you hear it here, the aha, aha. And so next time you're in Auburn, you can think, bring you back to this particular psalm, Lord Jesus Christ, let them be turned back. Lord God, those that are out to hurt me, Lord God, those that are out to mock me, Lord Jesus Christ, let all those that seek thee, now turning the other side of the coin here in verse 4, let all those that seek thee, that seek the Lord, rejoice and be glad in thee, and let such as love thy salvation say continually, let God be magnified. So we're going to hear the word let a lot. We just did in the last three verses. It's all over the place there. So your first thing on the sheet there is about letting. Little play on words. One of the songs we had today was, "Let go, my soul, and trust in..." Karaoke starting already. Oh, no. Help us. Thank you, Lord. Let go. And so a little play on words there. You just put a D on the end of that because you just want to just let go and float free like an astronaut. It feels good to let go, but you need to let God. Ultimately, our letting go is letting God. So you'll see the little dot, dot, dot. Letting go and let God. So the progress that's happening here in Psalm 70, 71, and 72 is threefold. And that's on your paper as well. These are prayers of deliverance, which you will need maybe today. Some people needed it, obviously, while you guys were eating pancakes. Prayers of deliverance from all kinds of things that happen on this earth. And prosperity. We want to do well. We want to have abundant joy, this promise that God has. We want to experience these things. We want our joy to be full. We want our souls to prosper in God. So prayers of deliverance and prosperity. These songs are also prayers. They're requests of God. God, hurry up. I need you. Deliver me, it says in verse 1 there. So asking God, you'll see all through these psalms. Number 2, letting go, God. Letting go, God. Stand on God's ground is number 3. Standing on that firm ground of God. Let all those that seek thee. What separates you from the evil that's out there, the kingdom of darkness, somebody that's walking evil, isn't the amount of sin in your life. You might be a worse sinner than they are. It's the fact that you seek after God and you rejoice and you love the salvation that he's provided. Those are the things that make you different and separate you. It isn't that you're holier than other people. And that's sometimes the impression. Oh, you're Mr. Perfect, you're Mrs. Perfect, you walk above, you know, everything else, and you look down on me. No, I'm not. Not at all. In fact, I probably did worse thing. Paul the Apostle, probably the greatest evangelist of all time. You know, Billy Graham times a million. In the New Testament, wrote most of the New Testament through the Holy Spirit. He said, I'm the chief of sinners. That's a weird thing to brag about. Okay? What was special about him? He sought after God. He loved his salvation. He loved the grace of God. That's what made him different. How about David that's writing this song? Need we go into his sin? I don't think so. Let's not, okay? He had plenty of horrible stuff going on in his life. Should we look at that? Should we measure that? Would you measure that if you knew David today? If he was sitting next to you? Would you be uncomfortable? You think, oh, that dude, he shouldn't be here right now. Let all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee. Let those that love thy salvation say continually, let God be magnified. So those are on your paper there to be on your refrigerator. These are prayers of deliverance. These are prayers that your soul will prosper in God. Your joy will be full. Instead of feeling like mundane and I've got to get through this day and I've got to get through this crisis and I've got to get through and I've got to make it and all this, there's more than making it. There's living in God. And when you let go of those things, you're able to let God take over. You'll see this prosperity happen in your soul. So letting God is allowing God to enable you to seek after him and rejoicing. So it's allowing God to enable you to do these things. L-E-T is a very important word in the Christian community. Let's take a look at Romans just to see that in Romans 6. What are the action words of faith? Well, let is one of those action words of faith. That doesn't sound like an action word, Paul. Well, it is when you realize that God is inside of you working to will and do his good pleasure. It's a powerful action word. Let's look at verse 11 in Romans 6 there, 11 through 13. Likewise, reckon, you can underline that one, ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Reckoning is a term of faith. That's an action verb of faith. I'm reckoning myself as dead unto sin. That temptation that's coming on me now, for whatever it is, you are dead because Jesus took that. It's dead and buried with Christ. And I'm alive unto God now. And allow God to allow me to rejoice now. I have victory over that sin, and I'm going to now start thanking God and start praising Him. Verse 12, there's that wonderful three-lettered word, L-E-T. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey its lust thereof. The third one in verse 13, and these all are very similar, kind of different words that say the same thing regarding faith, that you're trusting in God. You're yielding, you're letting, you're reckoning. These are the words of your life. These are the words of your faith that you need to apply every day. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God. Think of an intersection. You're going to allow God to move forward, and then you're going to follow Him. Instead of you leading the way, God is going to yield the way. That is a term, that's an action of faith, yielding. So back to Psalm 70, these are all terms of faith here. Even when it has to do with our enemies. Let God shame and confound that which is against my soul, verse 2. And you'll see that again in verse 13 of Psalm 71. Let God turn back and confuse that what desires to hurt me. Let God turn back and confuse that. Let God shame and repay that which mocks me when I'm down. Let God enable me to seek Him and rejoice in Him. Let God enable me to love His salvation. Let God enable me to magnify Him above every person, place, thing, including and especially myself. Magnifying God above myself, above my hurt, above my pain, above my frustration. I'm going to magnify God. You think that's easy to do, brother, sister? No. Your flesh is like a screaming two-year-old. I want this! And it's on one side of the intersection, and the Holy Spirit, the quiet comforter, is on the other. As we mature in the Lord, the two-year-old starts to become clearer to what it is versus the Holy Spirit. And we learn in our maturity as we grow in the Lord to yield to that Spirit. And the temptation is, even as a parent with children, is to react all the time. React to that scream that's going on, and you react with a scream. Now you're dealing in flesh management. In the same way, you need to deal with yourself. Your flesh is screaming, it wants something, or it's frustrated, it's been hurt. You know, somebody said something, and now you're all kind of worked up going on, and you hear the two-year-old going on. It's screaming. It's on one side of the intersection. I want to come through. Let me through. And our fleshly way is to, give attention and to start working with this fleshly thing that's screaming and going crazy. As we mature, we're learning that that's not fruitful. That's not fruitful to deal with things on that level. And I'm starting to scream, and it's all about that. It's like, wait, there's a whole intersection here. There's more than going on than just my frustration. By magnifying God now, I see the whole intersection. If it's just me, I don't see anything except flesh, and I'm caught up in the one single thing that's happening. So when I magnify God, I see the whole picture, and I'm able to yield to God. I'm able to hear His small, still voice and able to yield to Him and see victory. I'm able to have prosperity in that situation. My soul prospers. I grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus. It really works. These terms of faith really work. When we yield to God, when we let Him We prosper in Him. When we magnify God, when we let God be above every person, place, thing, including ourselves, we prosper. Let God surpass my confusion. Verse 1 of chapter 71, Psalm 71. Let God surpass my confusion and weak understanding as I trust in Him. Psalm 71 opens with that. In Thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. There's this that three-letter word there. Let me never be put to confusion. So this prayer asking God is a letting go. It's a letting God. And then finally, I'm going to come to a place of standing on God's ground. Let God surpass my confusion and weak understanding as I trust in Him. Deliver me in Thy righteousness, verse 2, and cause me to escape. Incline Thy ear unto me and save me. These are prayer requests. These are prayers going up. These are crying out to the Lord. Be Thou my strong habitation, whereunto I may continually resort. Thou hast given commandment to save me, for Thou art my rock and my fortress. Thou art my rock and my fortress. That's God's ground. You'll see that on your paper in the bottom section. You'll see some things that might surprise you on that section. The first one listed there is, I am poor and needy. That's prosperity? Yeah, it is. It is. When you empty yourself, when you deny yourself, pick up your cross and follow Him, you begin to prosper in a way you never imagined. I am poor and needy is God's ground we need to stand on. It's a place where God meets us called humility. We humble ourselves. It's the place of repentance. It's the place of brokenness. It's the place of being on our knees. I am poor and needy. Folks, we're all poor and needy. When we start pretending we're not, we start filling our lives with fancy, shiny things, and we have this illusion that we're not. We're all poor and needy. The richest person, Warren Buffett, whoever it is, Ronald McDonald, whoever it is, the truth of the matter is man is depraved. That's on the statement of faith on many churches, including ours, is that man is depraved, is a sinner. That is the statement that's being said there. I am poor and needy. I need a Savior. I need help from the church. I need help from my wife. I need help ultimately from God. God's ground also includes this rock that He describes Himself as. You are my rock and fortress and refuge. I'm glad we have Montezuma Refuge. If you've never driven around the loop, please do that. Take some time and take your whole family, put some crunchy things in the car and cookies and other stuff that's fun, and just go there. And, you know, you could let the kid get in front of you. Don't tell anybody I said this, but let them drive the car, you know, as they sit in your lap. Have a good time, you know, go 5 miles an hour down there and look at the geese and all of that stuff and get the idea of refuge. It's a refuge for animals, obviously, and owls and geese and different things and Egyptian men that like to swim naked. That's another story.
Maybe don't take
that. He felt safe there. He was very safe. Whatever he felt like he wasn't at home, I guess. But it's a refuge. God is our refuge. It's a secure place. It's a place that we go to. And it's like this place has been designed for safety and security. It's to foster the life of these creatures that are here. God is our Montezuma refuge. He is our place of refuge. God has carved out a place inside of Himself called Christ, Jesus Christ, our salvation. And we are to go to that place, boldly approach the throne of grace, and put ourselves right into God and lay ourselves right before the Lord. He is our refuge. Jesus Christ came to this earth to be your refuge, to be your hiding place, to be your place of safety from the storm. He's also your rock and your fortress, your place of strength. Verse 3, be thou my strong habitation, whereunto I may continually resort. Thou hast given commandment to save me, for thou art my rock, my fortress. Deliver me, O God, out of the hand of the wicked, out of the hand of the unrighteous and the cruel man. Sometimes it feels like you're in the grip and control, and that's a reasonable prayer. God, deliver me from this situation. In that process, you need to let go as well, and you need to stand on God's ground. That's the whole point today. It's beyond asking for help of God. It's actually letting go and letting God do the work and then standing on this holy ground, God's ground. For thou art my hope, Lord God. Thou art my trust from my youth. And that's the third one I have listed there on the list. You are my trust from birth. And he expounds on that in verse 6. By thee I have been holding up from the womb. Thou art he that took me out of my mother's bowels. My praise shall be continually of thee. And Richard was part of the 190, and maybe somebody else was there as well in Auburn. Part of the celebration of life. What an awesome thing to be able to do. It's certainly not a negative thing. It's a positive thing to come together and to say what God has made is beautiful. It's holy. Life is worth protecting and standing up for and celebrating. I've been holding up from the womb. Thou art he that took me out of my mother's bowels. That's their inner being there. My praise shall be continually of thee. I think they call it the womb, right? The old King James, a little rough there, taken out of the mother's bowels, or the womb, most translations would say. Very interesting. At the moment of conception, God would have it that a spark of light would go off. They just discovered this just a few years ago. Just a few years ago, no one would ever know it. And can you imagine being that person, that technician that was running the ultrasound, and they're somehow watching a conception happen, and then they see the spark, they see this. What was that? Someone flicker the lights? Wait a minute. When life begins, there's the spark that goes off. When new life begins, and this is all creatures, not just human beings, all of God's creation, a spark goes off, a life goes off. They say, well, it's this magnesium that goes off as, you know, different technology and all that. This is the Lord, you know, something special that he would show us. He's got all these things that are hidden that we're discovering to his praise and his glory. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. You are my trust from birth, Lord God. I certainly had no control of that time. I know Tony, our son, says, you know, he remembers when he was in mom's womb, and he was angry about something that happened, but he likes to be funny. But my sister was bringing up something yesterday that she used to go pinch me in the crib. So we got to deal with some forgiveness now about that, because she wanted to hold me. So mom said, you can't pick him up unless he's awake and he's, you know, crying or whatever. So she would make sure that that happened so she could hold a baby. No, that's all good. God bless Joan. That's my oldest sister. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I will hope continually. Now, bringing out from our birth going forward, I will hope continually. So you're going to see both ends of the spectrum here, the birth and the death, and even going beyond that to our resurrection spoken of in Psalm 71 here. I am as a wonder unto many, but thou art my strong refuge. There's a repeat of that. Let my mouth be filled with thy praise and with thy honor all the day. As you grow older, this is your biology, physically getting older, your priorities do change for sure. When I was younger, I used to think of a certain way. It was always about the next thing I was going to do or achieve or get, the promotion I would get at work or a different thing I would achieve. It's always about achievement or possession. It was very much oriented that way. Or some type of invention, I'm working on some type of thing like that. And my mind was always geared to that. Now it's a little different. Some of those things, it's like, you know, it's not as important. Those things are cool, but not as important. It's like the priority shifts, and it's all the day long now, instead of like thinking about this next thing I'm working on or the next achievement, all the day long, my praise, His praise, my praise is going on to Him and honoring God. I'm thinking about eternity. I'm thinking about children and grandchildren. I'm thinking about so-and-so's salvation. I'm thinking about this situation. I'm praying about it. Yeah, I'm thinking about work. I'm thinking about different things, and the house needs new siding and all of these things. All of that, but that doesn't occupy the center stage like it used to when I was young. Now, it's very different now. The things of God, eternity, have taken dominion over of my life. So it's all the day now. Let my mouth be filled with thy praise and with thy honor all the day. Cast me not off in the time of old age. Here's the other end of the spectrum, talking from birth now right to old age. Forsake me not when my strength fails. For my enemies speak against me, and they that lay wait for my soul take counsel together. There's that speaking of the enemy, ready to inflict injury upon injury, salt in the wound, you know, waiting for you to be weak, then attacking, that type of thing. Typical warfare, right? Saying, God has forsaken him, persecute and take him, for there is none to deliver him. They would say these words to Jesus himself. So we're in good company. O God, be not far from me. O my God, make haste for my help. Right in the center of the psalm, there's that cry again. Because these are real situations. This isn't real life. This is real life for each one of us. In the midst of this, you're going to have doubt all of a sudden sitting right in front of you like a gorilla. And you need to go right back to that cry. God, hurry up. God, help me right now, Lord Jesus. This thing is strangling me. I could barely breathe. Let them be confounded and consumed that are adversaries or enemies of my soul. We have many enemies of our soul. From the flesh, the devil, and everything around us in this world that's contrary to God. Let them be covered with reproach and dishonor that seek my hurt. But I will hope continually and will yet praise thee more and more. My mouth shall show forth thy righteousness and thy salvation all the day. There it is again. The priority shifting. Now it's instead of all the day being focused on something materialistic, all the day now it's something more of God's kingdom. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. And I know not the numbers thereof. Doesn't know, is this going to be my last day? I didn't used to think that when I was 23 or even 33. But 53, start thinking about that. Is this my last day? You start to get a pain in a weird place, you know, that you haven't had before. Is that it, Lord? Oh boy, thank you, Jesus. For I know not the numbers thereof. I will go in the strength of the Lord God. There is a good reversal right in the midst of the song. And this happens, victory happens in the midst of prayer. It's not 5 days later necessarily. It's not a week or a month. You can have victory right in the midst of prayer, and you should have victory. Prayer should be a process of working through to victory, where you have the peace that goes beyond understanding. We have a sense of His presence before you. And He's magnified over the situation. That's victory. That's prospering in God. But yet, I still have the siding still falling apart on the house. God, my transmission's still broken. And this is happening. Wait a minute. I have victory because God has been magnified over the situation. I have a peace. I don't know how it's going to get fixed, but I have this peace. I'm prospering in God now. Now all the mud is cleared from my head. God could actually speak to me and show me the things of wisdom that I need to do to go forward. Great how it works. It's like windshield wipers. Look at the progress here from him coming to a weak place of his age, speaking of his age. Lord, don't let my enemies take me over and I'm old. Forsake me not. My strength fails. And look at verse 16. This is a whole nother place. This is the victory that we're talking about in prayer. No matter what's going on with my age, no matter what's happening physically, no matter what's happening financially, no matter what's happening, I will go in the strength of the Lord God. That is one of your God's ground. That's one of the holy ground things that you're to stand on today, tomorrow, the next day. I will go in the strength of the Lord God. See, what's different about the letting go and the letting God now is now standing. Ephesians describes the warfare as preparing ourselves with all kinds of equipment. And it said, when all of that is done, and therefore, here it comes, stand. Stand on this ground. And so this is the ground we stand on when we're in victory with God and prospering in Him. I will go now in the strength of the Lord God. That man, that woman is standing on holy ground. That's God's ground. I will make mention of thy righteousness, even of thine only. O God, thou hast taught me from my youth, and hitherto have I declared thy wondrous works. Now also when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not. There was a dude, just got announced, I think it was yesterday. Craig somebody. Craig Coley. He was a Vietnam vet. He got wrongly accused in 1978, 38 years ago, something like that. So he went in when he was in his 30s, he came out, now he's in his 70s. He was wrongly accused and convicted of murder, double murder. So big time. He was put in some, you know, heavy duty prison kind of things. All these years, knowing he never did that. This was his girlfriend and that died. And her son, you know, he was starting to get to know her. So he became suspect. And this guy came alongside of him. Just an ordinary detective. And he said, he was starting to review the case. I don't know, out of interest or God led him here. But he was like, this isn't right. This is like red flag. This wasn't done right. And so he started working on the case, but it took him like 30 years of working on the case until recently. You know, he got released like a year ago, and just recently he's being now rewarded, compensated for it. So that was more in the recent news. But during that time, you would think, well, man, God has really forsaken this poor chap. He got handed the whatever you call it, the bad end of the deal. When I'm gray-headed, here he is still in prison, gray-headed, wondering where life is going. His parents have died while he's in prison. He couldn't go to their funeral. The first time he would see them coming out would be to go visit their gravestone. Those kind of things have passed. He didn't know what a cell phone was. He's like, who jacked all the prices up when he got out? He really had to get reestablished in society after that long of time. But during that time, this is why we've got to let go, let God. He could have been unraveled in bitterness, which he was for the first couple years. Then whoever witnessed to him in the system, he was able to latch on to the gospel and start growing in the grace and knowledge of God, now able to forgive. And during his time in jail, he was able to send packages over to soldiers and get involved in ministry that gives packages to soldiers over the seas. So he's free now. Now he's going to be well compensated for this, and you're going to see possibly his ministry even be blessed more that he does. Verse 19 brings this to bear. Let me finish 18. When I am old and gray-headed, God, forsake me not until I have showed thy strength unto this generation. This man is going to show the strength of God and has. And thy power to every one that is to come. Thy righteousness also, O God, is very high. His ways are higher than ours. If I were to be the author of my own life, I certainly wouldn't write falsely accused at age 30 and then spending 30 some years in jail. That wouldn't be my plan, as I authored. His ways are higher. You will fail or you will flourish at this point. When you put your ways higher than his, you're going to be frustrated. You're going to be dealing with a two-year-old in the intersection, dealing with flesh management all the time, and not recognizing God's providential power in your life and not prospering in him. Verse 19, your righteousness also, God, is very high. God's ways, his righteous ways, are very high. Isaiah 55 brings that to great clarity. Your ways are higher than can imagine. So much higher than ours, Lord God. Higher than the heavens they are from us. Your thoughts are higher than ours. Do you see what's happening? I'm magnifying God. This David is magnifying God. Paul will magnify God. The men are in Wednesday nights are in Acts 18. We'll be moving to Acts 19. But you can imagine Paul the Apostle being in such a similar situation. Would you have written your life that way? Where people, 40 people, would have sworn that they're not going to eat till they kill you? Does that sound like a wonderful life now? Having your best life now with shiny teeth? What does that sound like? That's prospering in God. He was visited by the Lord that night. He's probably struggling. This is a lot of times during the night, these things come upon us. The enemies come in. The gorillas sitting in front of us of doubt. And Jesus would tell him, the Spirit of the Lord told him that night, fear not, for I have many people in this city, encouraging him. Paul would stand on that holy ground, on God's ground, as he went forward, not ashamed of the gospel or the power therein. Your ways are so much higher. God help us if we ever get too clever that your gospel isn't everything. Thy righteousness also, O God, is very high, who has done great things. Oh my goodness. God has done great things. He's done great things. Praise the Lord. He has done great things. Thank you, Jesus Christ. As the psalmist reflects upon his life here, Lord God, he's looking from his birth, from that powerful spark of life, and how you have brought him forth out of the womb until this moment, Lord God, how he is trusting in you, that your works in his life, that your works in our life, Lord God, are many and mighty. If you got to enjoy the super moon this past week, we had like a double super moon. It was like, you know, we only get this 10 or every 15 years of this such a bright, powerful super moon. We get super moons every year, but this one was the super, super moon. And it lasted for 2 days. It just happened to be on Asher's birthday. He turned 4 years old. He goes to his back window in his little room, Asher looking out his window, and there's an owl looking back at him, 4 feet away up on the post of a trampoline, just staring at him, and they're looking at each other. He says, Mom, there's an owl. He got blessed on his birthday. That wasn't it. He had a super moon on his birthday. He went outside in the super moon and sledding and having a great time. The most cool thing, though, was that powerful moon, which to me spoke of Christ, that he radiated the glory of the Father so beautifully. He was the super, 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 super moon. And in that powerful reflection of the glory of God, there was all sorts of this sugar snow that was sparkling like diamonds. It was amazing. If you got away from the other lights and everything, it was like, wow, this is so cool. That's you. That's you reflecting the light of Christ, who is the glory of God. That's Roger. That's Patty. That's Gretchen. That's Mark. That's Terry. Everybody that's in here. I'm not going to forget anybody, even the smallest one. Asher. Isaac. Thy righteousness also, O God, is very high. Man, we can get excited about the gospel. All things are possible with him. Who has done great things, O God? Who is like unto thee? Who is like God? I mean, really? Who would wash Peter's feet? I mean, would you do that? Who would take my stinky sins and all the thoughts, every junky thing that I've ever done, and say, I did it, I'm taking it, Paul, I've got it. As if you never did it, kind of thing. I'm taking it. Who would take, you know, put a bag over my head and punch me? Who would take that and have say, for the joy set before me, I'm going to endure this? There's nobody like you, Jesus. There is nobody like you. Who would not eat for 40 days and just be in the desert in fellowship with the Father and then be tempted with bread and say, no thanks. That's not what I'm about. Who would see all the glory? It's like Netflix on steroids. All the glory of man, everything. It's right there. If you just bow down for a minute. If just this one little compromise, nobody's looking, go ahead, do it. No. I'm going to worship God and Him alone. Who is like unto thee, Jesus? Who is like unto thee? We got to finish with a praise song because that's where it's going. Thou which hast showed me great sore troubles, we'll finish the rest of the verses here just for Psalm 71, shall quicken me again. You're going to make me alive again. Even death won't hold me. And shall bring me up again from the depths of the earth. Thou shalt increase my greatness. And we're going to be glorified. It's not going to be this physical body of pain that ages and aches. Thou shalt increase my greatness and comfort me on every side, every side. I will also praise thee with the psaltery, even thy truth. Getting excited about his truth. Oh my God, unto thee will I sing with the harp, O thy Holy One of Israel. My lips shall greatly rejoice when I sing unto thee, and my soul which thou hast redeemed. Listen for it. Listen for it. When you go on break, you take your break at work, whenever it is that God sets you that sanctuary time. And allow, listen for it. Listen for the voice of God. Listen for the praise happening. Get connected with it. I promise you it's there. If it's not, say, God, give it to me. Grant me that grace. Lord God, where your spirit is inside of me. Lord, I believe I'm a sinner. I need your grace right now, Lord Jesus Christ. I need your spirit to fill me. Make me born again, Lord God. Make me a new creature, Lord God. Then I'm a man of praise all the day long, Lord God. All the day long. I'm going to speak of your righteousness and your power and your might. I'm going to praise you, Lord God, till my last breath, Lord God, and with every breath till then. Thank you, Jesus Christ. Lord God, I'm going to live to 100 or die trying. I thank you, Jesus Christ. I praise you, Lord God. You are awesome. I thank you for the people here today, Lord God. Bless each and one of us, Lord God, as we raise our hands and worship you, and we finish, Lord God. My lips shall greatly rejoice when I sing unto thee, and my soul which thou hast redeemed. My tongue shall talk of thy righteousness all the day long, for they are confounded that are and brought to shame that seek my hurt. Amen. Praise God.
You give life, you are love, you bring life. To the darkness you give hope, you restore every heart that is broken. Great are you, Lord. You give life, you give life, you are love. Bring life to So we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise to you only. Great are you, Lord.
Oh, we praise you, Jesus.
Yeah.